That was actually really good.
That was really good, actually.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
That was actually really good.
That'll be the start.
What is up, everybody? We are back on another Tranquilo Sports Talk podcast. Oh, yeah. And we are here back in the backyard, casita vibes, you know, just soaking up the Miami humidity after a nice rainy day today. But it actually is not too bad right now.
It's good. It was actually a little windy when I got here. It was nice.
It's supposed to be in the 60s later in the week. So, yeah, nice. You know. Soaking up a last bit of really hot weather.
Perfect hockey weather.
Yeah. We're a hockey town now. Hell so yeah. I think we're coming fresh off a nice dub.
Yes.
That I think the Panthers look dominant in. But we'll get into a little bit of heat talk today before we'll start with some Panther talk, but we'll get into some heat talk. Obviously, we're in the playoffs with the Heat. We got the draft coming up this week, so we're definitely going to talk some draft talk.
Back in football, baby.
And then we'll talk a little bit about the PGA, right? And obviously, there's a big signature event, and Scotty won again. And maybe a little Punta Cana recap in there, you know? Yeah. Just have to talk about that a little bit. And, that's pretty much it. Big thing, obviously, is draft and playoffs right now, though. So let's talk about those gatos.
Yeah.
Down in Sunrise.
Yes. Before we do that, like, subscribe, comment. Make sure we do this in the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely.
But seriously, thank you. Yes, please do that. But yes, Gatos talk. That game one was awesome.
It was.
Game one was awesome. It's because, what I was telling people is that you needed to really take game one. Obviously, you want to take game one to put you in a nice position, but it's also because we're playing the Lightning. Obviously, that's
your
biggest
rival. You got to take care of their number
this season. In the last 2 years, we've been better than them. They've still won two rings in the last five years.
Course. They know how to play playoff hockey.
The last time we played them in the playoffs, they swept us.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was very important to kind of get, you know, that kind of, like, boogeyman off your shoulder for even if it's just game one and hope you take that momentum with the rest of you. We are the better team.
Yes.
We are better than them.
No, you could see it, especially in that first period. You saw it.
Yeah.
We pretty much flat out dominated that first period. They got a goal late on a bad just kind of break on a, you know, ricocheted off Bob.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we dominated that first period. There was in the first, I forget how many minutes, we had nine shots on goal and they had zero.
Zero.
We came out hot. We came out firing, which is exactly how you want to do. We set the tone early. They did a good job of countering us there for a second, but we found our rhythm again. And obviously, the score doesn't do it justice. There was a late score for them at the end.
100%. And the thing is, with playoff hockey, especially in a series like this, there's two things you can kind of expect. You can kind of, for the most part, expect a low-scoring game.
Yeah.
And you expect a lot of hits.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of hits. A lot of hits on both sides.
Everyone on both sides had a registered hit. Yeah.
And that's gonna ramp up in this next game. Like, they're gonna be pissed.
They were physical.
We gotta be ready to just be as physical. Mm-hmm. Listen, one of the things that killed the Panthers in years past was the fact that we weren't a physical team. Right. The time that we won the President's Cup trophy, we were all finesse.
Yeah.
And we go and we play Tampa and they kick our ass.
Yeah.
So the thing that made last year's team so special and what makes this year's team so special as well. Is the fact of how physical they are.
Yeah.
They're willing. They'll fight anybody. They'll get down and dirty with you. They don't care. They muck it up, which is what led us on that run and what's led us this year. And
it's what's going to win you playoff hockey at the end.
Exactly.
Of the day.
Like, you need that. And so that's why I love our chance, obviously, not only in this series. I mean, for us, it's really Stanley Cup or bust. Like, and it's like, oh, you know, made it again. Like, your team has never even won. Like, no. Like, it's Stanley Cup or bust just because of how good this team is. Like,
yeah.
Like,
no, we have all the pieces. As long as we stay healthy.
Yeah, well, that's the key, because that's what killed us last year, is that by the time we got to Stanley Cup, we were so... Yeah. So but it's what's tough, really, about the East, because the East is
stacked.
It's not only stacked, but it's full of heavy hitters. Like, you look at the top three teams in hits, it's us, Boston, and Toronto, all in the East.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've still got... Lightning is another one, heavy hitters. So you got to survive the gauntlet and then get to a point where you're healthy enough to play, you know, the Stanley Cup. But I love our chances. I love our chances to make another run. It's going to be super hard. Probably even hard. It's going to be even harder than last year because last year we were the guys. We took out Boston, right?
In crazy, we have a target series, on our back.
And then we were still hunting. Now we are being hunted by everybody else. They all hate us.
Yep.
And so you just got to be ready for that. It's a different aspect to it. But I think this team's really, really got what it takes. And and I think, you know, by the time of recording, we've won one. By the time this drops, we're going to be up 2-0. So.
Hey, next game's tomorrow.
Next game's tomorrow, then yeah.
And then the following game's Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is you got a whole year of playoff experience now, you know, as a team, right? Yeah. You made a great run last year. Unfortunately, just not healthy enough to kind of finish it off last year. Talent was definitely there, but we were just beat up.
Yeah.
And those things are going to happen. I mean, you want to be able to make it through these stretches of hockey. First series was a bloodbath against Boston, you know, that we were able to obviously get through. But, I mean, that series honestly could have gone either way.
Yeah.
And whoever probably won that series was going to the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, obviously we made it, but Boston was probably going to be that team if you know, if we didn't beat them. So, you know, we're capable of it. They know they're capable of it. And I think that's a big thing. But to your point, you have a target on your back. You know, Boston, obviously, if you got to go through Boston, they look great in their first game, scoring five goals, right? So we know what we have to do. It's just a matter, are we going to be able to match the intensity and the physicality out there? Or are you going to continue to get great play from Bob, from obviously from Chucky, Verhage, all these guys that have been great all year long for us? I think that's the biggest thing. The thing that that gives me even more hope, right, is like Chuck had a great game. Chuck is always going to have a good game, even when the stats don't show. But Chuck had multiple chances in scoring in that game that usually he finishes those shots. And their goalie played a great game.
Their
and he made
so nasty, though.
And made tons of saves.
Yeah.
Tons of saves. But
Vasilevskiy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's nasty.
But Chucky had opportunities to score, and I think those are going to start to fall too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that was a game where we could have easily probably scored five goals.
Yeah.
But that just shows, obviously, the physicality and the way that they play on defense, it's going to be tough to score.
Well, here's the thing. It's in playoff hockey is a lot of the time determined, really, most of the time, based on how well your goalie's playing.
1,000%.
How hot your goalie is.
Bob, we've seen it every
Bob
year.
In the playoffs last year was insanely hot.
Yep.
And it, you know, it really led this team to do great things, right? Vasilevskiy's another
they
one.
They feed off of that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, you're making the saves, but when your team is seeing the saves that you're making, it just gets everyone energized
and it'll
up.
Always keep you in the game, even like, you know.
Exactly.
And so, and then Bob, I mean, has continued that run into a phenomenal rugby season. He's been awesome. And then now, you know, he's just got to keep on fire through the playoffs, and he's probably our most important player. Like, I mean, probably he is. Like, if he's hot, like, it's going to be so hard to beat us.
I agree.
It's funny because, like, a few weeks ago, we were kind of in a cold spell. Like, we went through a little slump, and I was like, damn, this is not the good time to be
in this slump. They turned it around right at
the end of the season, ripping off, like, maybe five straight, and kind of looking back, like that team playing on, and then that first game really showed that, like, this team is not, you know, messing around. Like, they are ready to do this. And listen, knock on wood, stay healthy. But this team has what it takes to make the cup run.
Yeah.
And honestly, and win it. And win it because, like, I think they're better than last year.
I agree. I think so, too.
And they've got that chemistry now. And they've got that experience. And they can take that next level. And honestly, I'm not scared of anybody. They're that good that I'm not scared of anybody.
Yeah. This is one of the more teams that I've been confident about in my fanhood as a South Florida sports
fan. Yeah, exactly.
Feel good about it.
Yeah, like the crazy thing about hockey is like there's so many good teams. Like if you're in the playoffs, like you're nasty.
Yeah.
Like look at it. Like is the way it's split up. It's not 1 through 8 in the playoffs, right? It's split like, you know, 3-3 and whatever they're all playing. But like, dude, like we're playing Tampa's the hottest team in the NHL now. We're playing them in the first round.
Yeah.
It's not an
easy opponent to get when you're first in your division and then going into the playoffs thinking you have a favorable matchup when the reality is Tampa's not a favorable matchup.
Yeah.
But then again, play anybody in the East right now and it's not really a favorable matchup. Like
exactly.
I'd rather be in our situation than in Boston, even though Boston went out there and took care of these guys.
Right now,
but are they losing right now?
They are down 3-2 with 1.5 minutes left. And the Hurricanes are losing to the Islanders too.
But all those teams are good teams, bro.
No, they are good.
All those teams are good teams.
But with that being said, like, I'm not afraid of any of them.
Yeah.
But, like, all these series are going to be really good.
Yeah.
If I had to pick between who we play next, either Boston or Maple Leafs, I'm hoping Toronto somehow beats Boston.
Oh, I'm hoping Toronto. Because
I think Toronto's soft and we not soft. They're one of the
I hate playing teams.
They're such babies. Like, but Boston's one that, like, I think obviously we can win 100%. It's just one that's going to be such a physical matchup, and it's just going to be so crazy. They're going to be coming for that revenge. I'd rather not do that. But again, like, I've also, like, my whole thing was, like, people were like, oh, just lose the last game of the season so we don't face Tampa. But I'm like, screw that. Like, if this team's good enough to win the Cup, I don't care who we face. Yeah. Like, I want, you know, if we have to go through Boston, give me Boston. I would love to face the Maple Leafs next. Obviously, presume we beat Tampa. But I'm not scared of anybody, and especially in the West, too. Like, I'm the East is, I think, way harder than the West. And the West is very good, too, because they've got Edmonton. They've obviously got defending champs in Vegas who are scum with that injury little thing that they do, that they cheat, that Tampa did a few years ago, the whole IR manipulation. But Vegas is good still. Dallas is really good. So, listen, NHL playoffs are so electric, and it's honestly probably the best playoffs out of any sport because of how competitive it is. And it's insane to me that, one, that they even play 82 games and then they play 7-game series with the amount of times that these guys hit.
It's insane.
It's truly insane that they play the same basketball schedule. Like, basketball guys are, like, taking off time
and they're getting hit.
Yeah, they're getting hit every day and they're on skates and it's crazy.
Hockey's nuts.
Salute to hockey players because that's the craziest sport out there.
Hockey's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, me personally, Boston is the one team that I would just hate to play, not because they're obviously a great team and, you know, all that. I just hate playing teams after you're coming off the year before of upsetting them, right? Because just that team just has an extra chip on their shoulder.
No, but the issue is we beat them all last year. We upset every single one last year.
Yes, so we did, technically. Boston was like the upset.
Boston was crazy because it was 3-1.
Historically one of the best teams ever, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And we come back and we beat them, and then we beat Toronto, and then we beat Carolina.
Yeah,
all as underdogs into the series, and we're most likely going to have to face all of them. Well, we're definitely going to have to face either Boston, Toronto.
We're going to have to play Boston,
one
Toronto,
of those two.
Yeah.
And then there's a chance we play Carolina again in the Eastern Conference Finals if they make it. Carolina's really good.
Yeah, they're actually the favorites now.
Yeah,
to win it all.
They are very, very good.
We're second favorites,
and we haven't done too well against them this year. Same with Boston. I think we might have split. I know Carolina had our number this year. But, again, like, come playoffs, like...
It's different hockey.
It's different hockey. BB&T is going to be power. Amaret's going to be popping. Amaret's going to be popping, and it's going to be awesome. So I'm super excited for this run.
Yeah, the fans definitely showed up for game one.
No, hell yeah. Dude,
the TV, it looked
Panther
like
fans,
it was,
like,
it
they
was
get
packed.
A,
and,
yeah, like they, the Panther fans are electric.
Yeah.
It's similar to, like, the Dolphins that it's obviously a lot of Broward fans,
of course,
too.
Yeah.
Especially because it's up in Sunrise.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
It's
people show
factory,
out.
Man.
That's what you got to do for your team when they're in the
hell
playoffs.
Yeah, hell yeah.
But on to the other team in Miami. Down in Biscayne Boulevard.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot less Broward fans. We got the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
That was ugly.
Listen, here's the thing. So we didn't have a chance to talk about the play-in, right? The play-in game, Jimmy gets injured. He sprains his MCL, which now we know is an even more intense sprain.
And played through it
the
somehow.
The fact that he played through it, he's such a dog, and there is truly, and I say this, like, not even, like, partially joking or being biased, there is honestly nobody, I think, that is more deserving than Jimmy Butler to win a ring, like, in sports right now.
Absolutely.
It's insane, like, what he's done for the Heat the last few years, and what, honestly, I truly think he could have done with this team again.
Yeah.
You saw it in that six, like, he looked... It's actually so funny because, like, the whole Jimmy playoff Jimmy thing, like,
right.
He actually looked so much better in that first quarter of the 76 game that I'd seen him, like, all year.
He literally turns on a different switch.
Yeah, and he literally, like, again, like, by the way, if he doesn't get injured, we 100% beat the Sixers.
Yeah.
And we'd be playing the Knicks right now, who I 100% think we'd beat, and we'd play the winner of the Bucks and Pacers, looking like the Bucks after game one. Who knows? But I liked, like, if our Jimmy stayed healthy, like, I liked our chances. Terry would come back.
I don't even know if Terry's going to come back.
No, I at this point don't. Like, I don't think we're going to beat Boston. Like, as much as I hate Boston, I hate their fans.
Yeah.
I hate that team. We own them. And they're all celebrating Jimmy's injury because they're so scared of him.
Of course, like, yeah. I mean, they want the easy way out. That's what it is.
No, they're such a bunch of losers that they're like, oh, thank God, playoff Jimmy, like crying.
Yeah.
You guys are, first off, not built to win. You're going to choke, like I said, whether it's not going to be to us most likely because we're very injured. We got no Terry or Jimmy. But they're going to choke. They are not. I guarantee you right now, you heard it here first.
I'm
not going to say it because so far they've been so cold. But you know what I'm going to say. Just look at me in the eyes and know what I'm going to say. I won't say it out loud, though, because then it might happen.
That's fair.
So I don't want to but those frauds are trash. But our team, it's Jimmy-less, it's Terry-less.
Yeah, you're missing two 20-plus points.
Yeah, and we're facing a team that, you know, it's got Tatum, they got shooters. And so, listen, it would be very hard for us. If we win this series and you're a Boston fan, you better hide because I'm coming for you, especially you, Mark. I hope you're listening because you better lock your doors because I would break into your house and just... heat memorability everywhere, like it'd be insane. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be almost impossible. Like I you watch that first game, you're like, yeah, this team just doesn't have it. Like Bam can only do so much. Hero didn't do anything. Honestly, our young guys looked like they had more experience than some of the other guys. Like Jaime looked really good.
I think Jovic looked freaking awesome.
But like again, we're banking on a rookie.
And let's give some love to Wright. Guy went six for seven from the 3-point line.
Yeah.
Came into the season, in the last quarter of the year, basically.
He legend.
And that came from a UD recommendation, basically saying, hey, you guys should bring this guy in. And he comes in on, like, I think he played 18 minutes and shot 6 of 7 from the field.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously that's great. And it's almost like in trash time when it doesn't really matter. I get it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the reality is, if you want a chance, somebody's going to have to step up.
No.
You're not getting scoring from Tyler. You're not getting score from Bam. And I don't even blame Bam. Bam doesn't even get the touches to go score. Because when he did touch the ball, he was scoring.
He was fine. Yeah, he was 24. I'm looking at 24.
Bam had a great game.
He was great.
Bam had a great game. He played great defense.
Yeah, that's right.
Rebounding was tough, but Bam was in tough spots all game to be down there to get boards. Yeah, exactly. A tough spot for him there. But the reality is, Bam is gonna give you points, but if he's not gonna get the touches, it's gonna be impossible.
Yeah.
Then you got a guy like Tyler that takes a ton of shots and is not producing.
Yeah.
That's the part that's worrisome to me. And look, it's only game one. Whenever we play the next game, I think it all is gonna come down to, it's not even about Tyler being a 30-point scorer. Although you got to find the scoring somewhere.
Yeah.
It's about the efficiency of scoring. His plus minus, I don't know what it ended up being, but at one point was minus 19.
Oh, yeah, he finished minus 12. Jovic had a minus 25.
Yeah, but...
Highsmith was minus 21. I mean, listen, the whole team...
No one was in the plus, I think, maybe outside of...
no one. The closest was Caleb Martin at minus 1.
Yeah. And he doesn't even score.
Yeah, he had 4 points. Listen, the thing with them, that's right, Duncan was another one. But the thing with them too is like they live or die on the three.
Yes.
I mean, they shot.
Yeah, we shot 30-something.
Almost 50. They shot 49 threes.
We shot 49 threes?
No, they did.
They did.
I'm saying the Celtics live or die.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So do we, though.
Yes and no. We have to match him, but we don't. When Jimmy's in there, I mean, he'll take a couple threes in the playoffs, but like he's driving. I mean,
last year, that's what carried us through the whole playoffs.
It was
the fact that we were shooting 40-plus pretty much every game.
Yeah.
We were on fire. Gabe, Caleb, Shrews, somebody was going to go out there and shoot the three ball well.
Yeah. But the Celtics, I mean, they looked ridiculously hot that game. They didn't miss a three. I mean,
they started off on a 14-0 run to start the game.
And then we came back down 5 going into the second
one. Yeah, the defense stepped up. The problem is you're not going to get enough stops against this team. So eventually you're going to have to score.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, what was it? At the end of the third quarter, we were like at 60 points or something like that. It wasn't until we hit like a little late run whenever it was already too late. But you got to find a way to manufacture points. And the Heat struggle to do that.
Well, especially our top guys
of
are court, up.
Of score. But even when Jimmy's on the floor, even when Terry's on the floor, that's not our brand. Our brand is really good defense, and we are going to put up enough points. If the Heat are down by 10 in the fourth quarter, you feel great about things.
Because it's true.
It's who we are. Yeah. We're going to lock down in the fourth quarter, and we're going to get enough stops to turn it around and get enough points. That's who we play. That's our brand of basketball. But when you're down 20-something points because you can't shoot the ball, right, and you're shooting under 30% from the three-point line, and then you go on these streaks for 5-6 minutes where you can't buy a basket and our offense is dysfunctional as hell, you can't do anything. Like, you're not going to beat the number one team in the NBA like that.
Yeah.
So on a more positive side of it, it took them to shoot the three ball phenomenal.
That's all they do.
Right?
So they're going to do that every game.
100%. And it's going to come from somebody. And Spo is going to make the adjustment stop that.
Listen.
But our only real hope is Tyler being a better scorer.
Yeah.
And you got to find a second guy outside of Bam to be able to score.
Yeah. I'm hoping, Duncan gets a bit healthier. I hope Terry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Terry, I need some magic mind. Terry, come back. But yeah, it's going to be a huge uphill battle. It would be one of the crazier upsets. Last year was already a crazy enough upset. And this year without...
Did we win game one last year against them?
Yeah, we went up 3-0.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, against them we won.
And then we blew it to go to game
7. Yeah, we went to game 7.
But... Yeah, we were up 3-0, and this team's better than last year. They got, like you said, Porzingis.
No, yeah, they're definitely a better
Drew
team.
Drew Holiday. And so they're very good. But, if Jimmy was playing, I will never doubt Jimmy Butler. And he literally would have somehow dropped 70 if he needed to. Like, he's that good.
Mm-hmm.
And so all you can hope is that, we've essentially our window with him.
He's also getting hurt a lot, too, now.
Yeah, he's older
come these
now.
Times. It's tough to see.
And I mean,
he does everything right to take care of his body too.
It's right when he got injured last year too.
Yeah,
but
it's always on like a fluke. It's like a
Yeah. I mean, he plays physical in the playoffs. That's what's coming. He's got body contact. Random things.
The ankle.
Yeah.
Kelly Oubre fell on his knee. It's always like the most.
It's just one of those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like non-contact.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So our window is essentially for his tenure.
For him,
is we've got one more year. So we either go bring in another star next year or we're going to have to run it back. And it's like now you look back and it's like obviously we got screwed in the Dame thing with their owner being such an idiot. But it's also the fact that we played a bit of hardball and didn't want to get rid of Tyler. And so didn't make things any better for us. But, in the end, we also wouldn't have had Jovic and Jaime, who can be very, very good.
No, you got to have the pieces to build a true deep roster.
Yeah. But again, you see Dame popping off. So it's all good. We now just, we knock on wood and see if we can pull off another Miami miracle. But it's not looking great for the Heat. And it's time to, go all in on one star. And we'll probably have to move on from Tyler. If he doesn't step up and try to run
this is a series where you have to
Tyler
have honest conversations. Yeah. They had the right to run it back, right? Okay. Like what bothered me with people was like, dude, we just made the freaking finals on a crazy run.
Yeah,
we played really well, missing probably our number two guy in Tyler Hero going into the season, right? Like that's how you're thinking about it, right? Mm. He had a career year this year in terms of points per game. He dealt with injury again this year, unfortunately, and he's just starting to get in the rhythm of things, right?
Yeah.
I get all of that. This is the year where you got to really evaluate things. You had the right to run it back. You had the rookies that you knew you felt confident in.
Yeah.
You had young talent to that you felt were going to fill maybe some of the pieces that you were missing. But the reality is now, if you go, you're down Jimmy again, which stinks. So it's hard to get a full gauge of things. But you have to really start looking. It's like, how can we make this a better roster? And find that score. I love Terry. That's another piece that you're missing. It's like, we can't really catch a break in this whole...
Terry's great. I'm pumped for Terry. Like, Terry will be back next year.
In this whole process.
But his neck injury thing is weird.
It's weird.
It's like, it kind of came.
The weird thing that I was reading in all the articles, there's not like a really definitive, at least I couldn't find anything, about the breakdown of his injury, but a lot of comments and every article were basically saying like, it's not career ending.
Yeah.
So was there a thought at one point that it was going to be career ending? I was like, what happened to him?
Weird.
It's got to be something with the disc.
Now they're like, yeah, he can come back at any moment. Like, he's not ready, but like,
he's week to week right now.
Yeah. If we make it to next week with this series, then he can easily be.
Hopefully. Like, he's week to week right now. So he technically could come back next week.
Yeah.
At this point. But yeah, weird.
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, they said maybe toward the Eastern Conference Finals, if we somehow made it there. But yeah, most likely he's out. So he's definitely not coming back in the Celtics series. So
no,
we're going to need a bit of a miracle or one of these guys just go nuclear.
Tyler's dropping 40.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, if Tyler drops 40, we have a much higher percent chance.
Pre-injury Tyler was averaging like 28 a game.
Yeah.
He was playing insane basketball.
It wasn't 28, but yeah, it was up there.
He
put up
numbers.
Yeah.
I'm inflating it, but
the guy could score when he's on. It's just the consistency of it. But
people forget he's also like he's not like super far from coming back. Like he just came back from his injury, like not like.
Of course, it takes time to get in the rhythm and get in that speed and all that stuff. But
it's not role players. We need Caleb to come in, drop like a quick like 10. Like, yeah. Need, like these guys to come off the bench and like give us. That's what happened last year. Like, we had Gabe Vincent.
Yeah, our bench was deep.
10, we were 15, deep. We were like, deep. You know.
And the thing is, we were super deep this year, too. I thought we were deeper this year, except now we're down.
We're just not healthy.
We're not healthy.
We lost Josh Richardson, right?
Richardson. Great defender.
I mean, Duncan could shoot the three ball
relatively well.
So it's annoying, but, you know, see what happens. Maybe by the time this episode drops, we upset game two.
Yeah.
And we're right back in it. Yeah. But, yeah, listen, all it takes is,
A little momentum.
And a little momentum.
Yeah.
What's promising, though, is I think we're going to have a very good front court for years to come with Bam, Jovic, and Hyman.
I agree.
I love that trio. Have three guards in there, and they can do some damage.
Yeah.
Jovic is a 7-footer with handles.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
he's athletic too, bro.
And he's only 20 years old.
Guy, I love when he gets a rebound and he just takes it down the court.
Yeah, the full court.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't give a shit. He's like, I'm taking this all the way down.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe we pull it off, but we won't know. Are you getting wet by any chance?
Slightly.
Oh, okay.
Like one will just come every now and then.
You want me to come in and take a little wipe down?
No, you're good. Unless you want to, Pooch. Get on camera, Pooch.
Get over here.
Pooch cam. You can't be wetting your talent.
It would have been amazing if he fell in the pool.
Dude, oh my God. Oh my God.
Pooch needs a little magic mind. Yeah. That's what he needs.
Dude, honestly, I need some magic mind.
I wasn't very tall. I didn't think I was going to reach.
I'm recovering from Punta Cana.
The only way to recover is just some magic mind. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have any here physically right now, you know?
Yeah.
It's only for the mornings.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, so hopefully he get it done. It's going to be tougher. I have a lot more confidence in the Cats, but who knows? So,
all right. So that now takes us on to draft week. That was actually really good.
That was good, right?
That was really good, actually. I wouldn't be able to do that.
That'll be the start.
I'm not going to even attempt that. I think it's going to be an awesome draft. It's a deep draft this year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Dolphins got a first-round pick this year. And that's great. We're picking 21 overall. So a lot of different needs that we have, considering, you know, no Wilkins now. You lost X. We made some replacements there, but, you know, we're still a little thin in the secondary between DB and safety. After losing, you lost Deshaun Elliott, you lost Brandon Jones, you made it up with Poyer, but you still need some depth there.
And Hall.
Yeah.
Our starting DBs.
We have Needham still. Nasty.
Yes, and we still have Cater, right?
We still got Cater. Yeah, we still got Cater, got Cam Smith. So, no, we got guys, but... I mean, imagine you're running a nickel. One guy goes down. You can never have too many corners.
Corners is a position you can never have.
We just haven't historically drafted them well. You could say. I mean, X obviously was a great draft pick back in the day. Yeah. But I mean, you know, you went with Noah. That project didn't work out well. And it even felt like a stretch when it happened. It was like obviously a good athlete, right? Yeah. And I think they banked so much on his athleticism that they were going to be able to churn him into a corner, and it just never happened. And then you have Cam Smith, who hasn't really gotten a fair shot.
I think the evolution of him could be a big thing.
Like, do they bank on that and not really focus too much on the corner position? I think that's how you have to approach it, because you need depth at middle linebacker. You need depth on the D-line. You need depth at DN, right?
Yeah.
Considering no Bradley Chubb to start the year. Jalen Phillips, maybe.
Probably not.
But most likely not.
Like, yeah. I just saved them for even a month in. That's fine.
Bradley Chubb for sure, no.
Yeah.
Jalen Phillips has a chance. I don't see it happening either.
Yeah.
But then who do you have there, right? You have Barrett, who you brought in, which I think is going to be a very low-key, freaking amazing signing.
It's a great signing.
But on the other side,
we got another Panther.
That's right.
Tart, yes. Defensive tackle.
That was a great signing.
Very good. I'm telling you, he's very good. But yeah, the two positions of need, or I guess not just positions, but it's the both lines, like O-line and D-line.
You need a guard, right? Specifically.
Yes. O-line and D-line are positions that we need to fill, and it is a very, very deep O-line and D-line draft, which is great.
That is good.
It fares very well for us.
Place to be.
And so I like a lot of the moves that we made this offseason. You know, obviously we've lost some guys. I think we've made some really, really good additions, especially on the defensive side.
Agreed.
But it's time to, like, you really got to nail an offensive lineman. I personally believe in the first round, first or second, you, like,
got to hit one of those.
If you go defensive line, whether it's an edge rusher or a defensive tackle in the first, and then you go O-lineman in the second, I'm totally cool with that too. But one of the first two has to be a lineman, in my opinion, just because, listen, our line, you know, it was better last year than the year before.
Better, but a lot of it's smoke and mirrors.
It's got a lot of holes, and because Tua gets the ball out so fast and the way the offense runs.
And the just overall offense, yeah.
So that's one thing. But it's got to be the main focus, because if we are, you know, we'll obviously have to stick with a lot of the same offensive schemes, things like that. But a lot of defenses are going to adjust more.
Of course.
So we're going to change things up. Tua may need more time. And anyway, it just makes me feel more comfortable that Tua will have more time.
Yes.
Just because, like, you don't want your quarterback getting hit so often. And
if you let Tua sit in the pocket, he's going to throw a dart and find somebody open. Like, that is his bread and butter.
Yeah. And then on the other side, I mean, D-line is so important. You see, I mean, last year when we were the hottest was when, you know, you've got Phillips and Chubb and Wilkins, Sealer, all these guys making plays, making the opposing quarterback uncomfortable, and it's the most important part of defense.
Obviously, it sets the tone.
DBs are incredibly important to our linebackers, but like it sets, like you said, it sets the tone. It opens up so many opportunities, and it makes your defense. It could fill out a lot of holes when you've got guys like that. But so that's why I want to go just specifically those two. There's been a lot of murmurs, and I've been seeing a lot of people on this side that they want us to draft a wide receiver at 21.
Yeah, I keep saying they want us to get the speedster.
They want us to get the kid from Texas.
The speedster, actually, right?
Yeah, Xavier Worthy.
Xavier Worthy.
There's a lot of talk
he's
about
a beast
that.
And he's fast as crap, but isn't that technically a little bit of a reach at that number?
Probably.
His stock drew, like, sped up
as
he ran that. I mean, that's the reason John Ross went as high as he did, too. The guy
You
can't teach that. Like,
speed.
Especially now the new kickoff.
Especially with
rules,
Mike McDaniels.
Yes. Well, so
rules,
that's,
like, having like that can be insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But I just don't think we need another guy that can get jammed at the line, which is the reason that we lost a lot against Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to go wide receiver in the first, but I was actually having this conversation with Cambo. Cambo's all in on the wide receiver on one. Because his whole defense was, we survived last year with this O-line in terms of the way that our offense is run. Like we said, it's a lot of quick plays, a lot of getting the ball out fast. If you add another weapon to it, you know, our biggest weakness on the offense was our wide receiver three. I mean, if you add one
That's
of
true.
These guys instead of a Cedric Wilson or a Braxton Berrios having to be your main third option, and you go three studs, like, one, you can probably get the ball out even faster. And two, it's like you've got
imagine you're gonna run
every
sweeps
second.
With him.
And then you also got Jonnu, who we just added, who's a super fast tight end and a good blocker. And we've also got Achane, and most like it we just get even faster. So his whole thing was like,
give me
honestly,
him.
Like,
give me him.
Yeah, like we can.
I'm sold.
We can rely. Like obviously, you want you can draft a lineman in the second and stuff. Still build it, but like you can really pop off. And then The other thing is, then at that point, then that decision comes whether you want to pay Waddle next year, things like that. That's a whole different conversation. But
that's yeah.
But in this year, it would be you'd have three, and it's, even if it's just not him, there's another guy that that people were talking about. That
would I know be he's that. The one that I've been hearing the most rumors about. Yeah,
so he would be good. There's another guy that's.
Let me see.
Oh my God. Damn, I'm forgetting his name, but
Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConney, Xavier Leggett.
He's a bit of a bigger guy. I think it's Xavier. Let me see. I'll tell you exactly what it is right now.
Is it Brian Thomas?
No, it might be Brian.
Yeah, LSU kid that's like 6'4".
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a guy, but his stock is skyrocketed too. He might go like in the top 15 right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's that guy was one of the other ones.
Why would he run his 40 time in?
It's not so much his 40 time.
He's
but so
he's just size and athleticism.
He was the number two over there with neighbors.
He's 6'4", 205.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy can practically be a tight end.
He's a 17th overall
prospect.
Yeah.
But like, he's a guy that he like people like. Depending on like how the draft is going, he's a guy that can go like top 15.
Yeah.
Before the combine, earlier on, like a lot of people had Miami take him 21, but now it's like the chance of us getting
him. He's another one, yeah.
The same thing with the kid from Washington.
I mean, he technically would be a good value based off, I mean, if you just look at.
If he's there at 21,
rankings.
Usually the guy at 21 I would consider taking because, dude, like, right. Having, like that's what we're missing. That guy you just throw it up.
Yeah, a big body, 100%.
Like, dude, you see it last year. Like, some of these balls that threw through to like get it out of the receivers, give the receivers like a chance, it'll be too high. And like, bro,
someone that's also could be sneaky. I mean, you're gonna hate this pick, and I'm a little biased, but Keon Coleman could fall at a great value there, and I think could be a sneaky good wide receiver three, bro.
I would take him in the second round. I wouldn't take
a first round pick. That's what I'm saying. Let him fall. Second, third round pick. If Keon Coleman's on the board and you have a chance to take him, I think you take him. He's 6'4", 215.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. He's big and he's getting that boy can get up there.
Who's the guy that had no hands? That he was
no, that was the other one. That was the other big receiver we had.
I remember during the FSU.
Yeah, no. His hands. No. But that was a story of his career. Big body. He could get open, but he could not catch for crap. But Keon Coleman was the one that took the punt return against UM and basically balled out and literally single-handedly won that game for us. He's a stud. So if he could fall at a second, third round pick,
I think we'll end up drafting wide receiver somewhere. I don't know if it's gonna be the first round pick. I think
you have to. It depends, I guess,
Who's there though? Like
no. I'm not talking about the first round. I'm saying we have to get a receiver.
Yeah, we can.
In those top three picks.
Over 6'1".
Yeah. Please. How tall is the Texas kid? That's running the 4.2. He just can't be that big.
Whom? Xavier? No, he's 6'1", 172, though. He's 6'1"? He's 6'1".
But not bad. Those football heights are a little
bit. Yeah, no, he's probably 5'11".
He's 5'11 and a half.
Yeah, when I was doing this stuff,
and 165 probably.
I saw them in person, I'm like, dude, you're not 6 feet because I'm looking at you right in the eye. And I'm 5'8". I'm barely 5'8".
Yeah.
Like, I'm 5'7", like, 3.5 quarters.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I mean, listen, if they do it, I trust this team so much and that I trust in McDaniel and Greer. And so hopefully it pays off. But like, you look at it, it's like, especially when you've got, you know, this is going to be Armstead's last year too. So you're not only fixing a hole for this year.
Yeah.
You're also looking ahead.
Yes.
And there's a lot of really good tackles, like a lot of really good ones.
Yeah.
And then you've got the kid from Oregon.
We re-signed Kendall Lamb and Isaiah Wynn too, which is also great depth.
Johnson I don't know if it'll work because he's a center. We just signed a center. Like,
yeah, but you can make him a guard. You can put him at guard.
He's never played guard before. So it's
I know, but sort of with a lot of guys. Situation. Yeah, but you're hoping he's better than that.
Liam was supposed to be a stud coming out of college.
I know, but even this kid is such a freak.
Games here, but dude, that guy let up.
But then again, we've also put Liam in some terrible situations. Yeah, we put him at center when the guy had never played a center in his life.
So
I think where he can thrive is where we kind of need is put him at right guard
as a backup.
My dream pick is that kid from Washington, Troy.
Yes. That's the dream. That he is. I don't know if he'll make it. It would be. Hopefully, he makes it there. He would be. He's like the. I'm actually.
Oh yeah, I mean, if he could fall there, then yes.
But what's messed up? But he's a guy.
He's a number one ranked interior lineman.
Yeah.
He's a guy that's supposed to go like in the 19-20 range.
He's the Washington
guy.
Another
guy that's liked a lot is I think his name is from Duke Graham Boyd.
Yes.
Another interior lineman. Our second round is Brandon Fisk from FSU, the D tackle.
Yeah.
a lot of people like him.
People are very high on him.
I want to either go O line, D line, first two, or swap it. That's why I want my first two.
From Illinois, yeah. And Murphy, Newton and Murphy.
From the Illinois, guy, Illinois. Oh, Illinois, yeah, Newton.
And then Byron Murphy's the one that I think he tested insane at the club. Yeah. He was a stud.
Those would be, yeah, I'm good with any of those, Pooch. Like, that's where I would go if I was making
It is a very deep draft, though. Like, you just kind of look at
it. That's why. And I can see the Finns making a move, like, trade-wise.
I could see us trading down. I could see us
moving around. I could see us trading up.
Really?
Maybe not in the first, but I could see us trading up in the second.
In the second, yes, maybe. If there's a guy that we love and we want to go. But I could see us trading down in the first with the intent of stacking up on another second or third round pick, right? So because it's so deep that maybe, you know, you go back to back in the second or the third round and get the guys that you want.
Yeah.
That's what I can see us maybe kind of. Like, plus we got a bunch of conditionals this year and next year.
Not this year, next year.
But we have at least one conditional this year. Are you sure?
None this year, no.
Damn, I thought
so. We didn't have any contract guys like that.
I'm pretty sure we had a conditional this year.
Thing that we took high that is still on the team.
Damn.
Let me just do a little.
The trade I saw was with the Commanders that they wanted to take a QB or they wanted to take a tackle to protect whatever QB they take.
Yeah.
That they take our pick, we give them a first and a fifth, and we take their 2 second rounders. I think they pick like 33 and like 35.
So we'd have three second round picks.
Yeah, and two very early. Like we'd have three top 50 players essentially. Yeah. Because they don't pick like late. They pick like 30, like in the 30s, which is essentially like early.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah.
So that's one trade I saw, which
I wouldn't mind doing that either.
If we don't see anyone there, that's like, you know, they're like, it's a good pick, but it's not like an insane pick. Like, dude, give me two early second rounders.
Yeah.
I'd be awful.
Why do we have a Chicago pick from in the sixth round?
Why do we?
Yeah. Where is that from?
The Jakeem Grant trade.
No way. Yeah, that random 2025 pick.
Didn't we trade running back to them?
Did we get a pick for Chase Claypool? No. Yeah, we might have.
Oh, you know what? That might be it.
It was a Chase Claypool.
It was Claypool.
We might have traded, yeah.
It was, yeah. We fleeced him.
That's, yeah.
We got a pick. That's a fucking win in my book.
Yeah,
honestly. They just wanted him off the roster.
Yeah, they wanted him gone.
Stinks.
He's a freaking
isn't he even playing like Canada or XFL now or something?
6'5".
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
I don't know, but
I don't know. I could see us definitely moving, though. I definitely could see us moving. There's so many factors there that go into draft day, but I could see us moving. I could definitely see, like you said, up or down. I think it's more the down, so we can maybe get another pick.
We gotta hit this draft like home run.
Oh, of course.
And obviously, want to hit every draft that's home run. But
We've drafted good. Well the last few years.
Yes, I know.
It just put us in this position, you know.
We gotta follow whatever the Lions are doing because the Lions have drafted amazing in the last.
And there's have been.
They've drafted well. The Jets have drafted well too, bro.
The thing with the Lions is that people have bashed their draft last year. Like, what is this guy doing? Taking a running back?
Oh yeah,
he
I know.
Just got David Montgomery and this tight end. And it ended up working out so well for them, which is crazy. It doesn't always happen like that. But, like, it worked out really well for them. And, yeah, they got some dogs. And, like, we need some dogs.
I remember I wanted Sam Laporta so bad last year.
Sam Laporta is sick.
They took him, and I was like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, let's see. You know what's very interesting to me? We haven't done Tua yet.
Oh, but we knew that wasn't going to happen until later in the offseason.
I don't know. I.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
No. So what, you're thinking we're going to draft a quarterback?
With the first pick in the NFL draft, the Dolphins have traded and are taking Caleb Williams.
No,
I don't think we're going to trade him. But I'm just saying, like...
Do you think we draft a quarterback?
No. If we do, it'd be late round, like fifth or sixth.
I think we're going to take Joe Milton in the sixth round.
I can see that.
Who?
That guy from Tennessee.
Oh, the Tennessee kid. Yeah.
But the kid has a bomb of an arm.
He's athletic. Yeah. I wouldn't mind that. Like, taking a six-round flyer, you waste one of your early day picks on this quarterback.
That's what I'm saying.
Your window right now, it'd be a waste not to be pissed. But if we...
You're also not sending a great message.
Yeah. No. The message is, if we were...
It's like, hey, we believe in you, but we don't believe in you that much.
If we draft a quarterback in the first three rounds, we're not signing Tua.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying that right now. Like, if we're drafting a quarterback in the first three rounds, it's because we're not signing Tua.
Okay, but how can Greer speak out of both sides of his mouth if he were to do that? At that point, I've lost all faith in Greer.
Well, it's more of like GMs do that all the time.
I do think we're gonna sign him. I think we're just.
But I agree. I think we're gonna sign him too. But we're not. If we take another quarterback, if we take a quarterback in the first round, we are not.
We're signing Tua. I don't even think this is a discussion.
No, I know. I just kind of wanted to troll a little bit. But
yeah,
no. But like, I'm telling you right now, I'm being dead serious though. If we draft the quarterback in the first round, we're not signing.
Oh, of course, no, 100%. If you draft
the quarterback
in the current situation that we are in right now, Tua is definitely not getting signed.
It would be the Packers situation.
Exactly, it'd be Love, Packers 2.0. Which how much of a mess was that?
Yeah, I mean, it worked out.
Well, no, the reason they didn't...
Jordan Love's gas.
It worked for them before. They drafted Aaron Rodgers very high.
I know.
He sat under Brett Favre for like 3-4 years, and then he came in, and now Jordan Love, is his first year, he played pretty good.
He played great. He had a good year.
Now people are saying like, oh, he's the second best quarterback. I'm like, dude, the guy had like
a good first year. Still got another year to prove it. I mean, Jordan Love looks great, but so does Tua.
Yeah, I think you have to sign him now because a lot of people are like, oh, let him play the fifth year. And I'm like, sure, he can let him play the fifth year, but like, if he balls out, you're gonna have to pay him.
I know, but you don't have to pay him really like an extra $10 million.
I mean, but if he like, we're talking about like hoops. Like, if he hoops, like you might.
You give him an extension.
You might have to pay him like that 50 freaking insane money.
I mean, yeah, that's the quarterback market. 50
anyway, though.
No, they said right now it's probably between 45 and like 48 mil.
If he accepts, like, he can push 50 right now if he wanted to.
He could.
So
he has the case to make.
There's not much more further we can go.
And it won't be coming from him. It'll be coming from his agent.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. The agent's going to always push him more because he can get more.
Exactly.
That represents Christian Wilkins, and he got Christian Wilkins $30 million.
And it's Rock Nation. I think it's Rock Nation Sports, I think.
Athletes
First, yeah. It's the same one Vaughn's a part of, actually.
Athletes First. Rock Nation is Bradley Chubb.
Yeah.
So, I can see them... Fifth option. I don't think it's the worst case in the world.
They were never gonna like the contract was never gonna be signed to at this point. No, it was never even a thought.
They're gonna pay him. What?
But I'm just saying that was never gonna it was never gonna happen. Now that's all I'm gonna say.
It could have. Everyone else got paid.
Listen, Tua slimmed down. He's gonna run for 500 yards this year.
He's looking good. I was watching one of the initial camp videos, but.
He lost weight.
He's definitely lost weight.
Dude, we'll never know what the body looks like because he's very like we don't know if he's like freaking. For all we know, he's freaking chiseled. For all we know,
I know
he hasn't been working with Perform.
He does conditioning with Perform.
Yeah, he's doing the conditioning, I guess, with him.
Yeah,
but he's now with the QB coach.
Which is fine. Like,
spending more time with him.
That's what I want. I want him to spend all his time with that guy.
Yeah.
Learn how to play QB.
Who is the guy?
He's the guy who did, I forgot his name.
He trained Drew Brees, which is like.
Got you.
He also did Burrow.
And if you want any, like, if.
I mean, yes.
Drew Brees,
no, it's like, Drew Brees. Let him be Drew Brees. Yeah, that's exactly who I want him to be. You got to build the offensive line to make Drew Brees work, though.
All right, his name
I just want more than 2 seconds.
That's what I'm saying.
Nick Hicks.
That's where Tua's going to thrive. Because you cannot blame Tua on the fact that defenses just knew that he's going to get the ball out of his hand in 2 seconds and just be in your spot. That was the way, and it worked in the second half of the season because defenses knew where we were going to go with the ball. Tua just didn't have the time, so he knew that, and he knew that my job is to get the ball out within 2 seconds so that we give ourselves the best chance. And he was going to do that, and he was going to throw tight windows, and he could fit it in there, but sometimes you can't because it's just there's no window.
I really wouldn't be mad if the first 3 picks of the Dolphins are all nine.
I wouldn't be mad either.
I wouldn't be mad at that at all.
Just strengthen our biggest.
Just go. Weakness. Just go and hit on two of the three of them, and I'll be happy.
We know it's happened every single year. We are going to lose at least 2 or 3 old linemen throughout the season.
It happens every year.
I don't know why it's for us. I mean, it happens
to, it happens to everybody.
For us, like, but they're
we just feel it more.
Like, they're like catastrophic injuries. Like, they're like a torn ACL, a torn Achilles. I mean, we lost.
Yeah.
I mean, our O line right now looks solid outside that right guard position. If you follow that, our O line looks good. Isaiah Wynn is going to be a great left guard for us.
He was great. He was great, but yes, exactly. You need the depth.
Lamb, which I love.
100%. I love both of those guys coming back.
I mean, you also got to bank on Armstead only playing 12 games max.
That, and then, you know, we have a new center. What does that dynamic look like? That doesn't just happen magically overnight. I mean, people speak very highly about him, but he's got to build a chemistry with Tua, learn the offense.
I mean,
we run a very different style offense.
Play guard and we get the working guy under center.
Who knows? I mean, that's one thing Mike McDaniels will do is he'll put people where he will put them in a position where they'll succeed.
Powers of Stark is gone. He might go like, I think he's going to go like 17 to the Steelers, 17 to 18 to the Steelers.
Steelers are 20th right before us.
I think he's going
to
be out.
But there, I was listening to a podcast before that says that the Steelers would actually take, if this guy drops, that's the guy for the wide receiver, not from Texas though, the 6'4" guy Thomas. They take him because they also just traded to me. Deontay Johnson. Yeah. So they don't have any other receiver outside of Pickens. They can see them upgrading there. So
the Steelers can be sneaky, bro. The Steelers might be a pretty good.
The Steelers improved a lot.
And no, yeah, really they definitely could be sneaky. I still think
it's so weird that they got two quarterbacks, but you know, whatever works.
It makes sense.
Got traded. Zach Wilson, where do you go?
Denver. Like
to Denver.
I don't know what the hell Denver's doing. Denver's going to be another joke this year. That's crazy.
Half of the guys getting drafted are the same age as Zach Wilson. I think Bo Nix and Michael Penix are both 24 years old.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, I mean, Penix and Bo Nix go late first, early second.
Oh, wow.
What?
No, that my boy sent me like his mock draft, and he has the Dolphins trading down to the Packers, and the Packers taking Cooper DeJean from cornerback from Ohio, Iowa.
Yeah.
He's a white cornerback.
That's right. So he has the Packers trading up to get him at 21, and then us taking the 25th pick and taking Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon.
He won't be there.
Yeah, that'd be a dream. But no, he won't be there. But that's 25. The guy. That's the guy I want at 21. Yeah. That's who I want at 21. That's my guy.
Powers. I think realistically, it's gonna be I would want the Washington.
I'll take,
he could be there.
The Washington, I mean, it's going to be a complete luck.
Yeah, I'll take Fatano. I'll take Powers Johnson. I'll take Barden. Honestly, the more I've thought about it, I might even take the Texas kid.
Murphy. Oh, God.
Murphy, yeah.
He has Xavier Worthy going to the Chiefs at 32.
What?
I mean, they have to replace Rashid Rice.
Yeah, I know.
God knows what the hell's gonna happen to that kid.
Yeah, which is crazy because he's so good. Well, he's so good. He's good.
I hope they don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You got any questions from?
We answered one of them with the quarterback. If the Dolphins are gonna take a quarterback.
No, I don't think.
I got more golf questions than actually draft questions.
I have questions.
Questions from the audience. Didn't we say we wanted to go on live?
Yeah. Oh, and see what people wanted.
Yeah. All right, let me do that.
Well, if we're going to go live, we should probably answer. Oh, I guess Pooch, you got a question.
Wait. Yeah, but let people trickle in. And then Pooch can go on.
You even got the little stand.
We're going to do Pooch's rapid fire.
I don't know if it's meant to be a stand, but it works to be a stand, so. I want to go live on TikTok too, but I don't know how to do that. Pooch questions. I'm gonna wait for some people to come in.
Let's cook.
But how many quarterbacks do you think go in the first round?
I think five, at least.
Five QBs?
I think three of them are gonna go in the top three.
So three are going in the top three for sure.
I think it'll be five quarterbacks in the first round.
Three are going in the top three. You're gonna get
Caleb Williams, one.
JJ, Caleb. And
JJ's stock has jumped this month.
I don't get it.
It's insane.
I get it that he runs a pro style offense, but I don't get why his stock is so high.
They have him going to the Patriots. They think the Patriots might take him.
Yeah, Patriots have the.
I've been seeing a lot of things. The Vikings pick? Are going to go for the four. No, Patriots have three.
Third.
I don't know. I don't know who. I can see. I've been seeing a lot that that the Vikings are going to take him, like trade up at four and get him.
Have you guys seen the trade about Justin Herbert?
AB broke it. AB says that they're going to trade Herbert.
Oh, yeah.
To the Vikings.
I saw it. But yeah, that was an AB tweet.
Yeah. Listen, CTSPN has been on.
He had Tyreek on his podcast the other day.
That's probably wild.
I'd listen to a clip of it, and I'm like, what am I watching right now?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. AB is wild.
No questions coming in.
Heat in five, though.
Yeah, heat in five.
All right, I got my questions.
All right, go for it.
All right, so of the prospects that are projected to go in the first round, who screams bust the most?
Oof. My take is strong.
Are there any Canes going in the first?
My take is strong. I don't know.
If it is, it'll it'll probably be like Cam Kitchens outside of that.
Bust.
No, Cam Kitchens is a dog.
No, I don't think – I think if J.J. McCarthy goes in the first round, I think he's got a big possibility to
– Navarro, we're drafting Xavier Worthy, another short, small king. And you're going to like it.
That's what we were just talking
we were just talking about that. I like the pick a lot. I would love to get him if certain pieces are not on the board that maybe we need, right? Yeah. If there's studs on the line, I feel like you have to take them there. Just because it is deep at the at receiver, too.
Yeah, it's so, super deep. It's deep receiver, lineman, and D-lineman draft.
Jerry, but who's your bust?
My bust? I mean, it's a hot take. It's Caleb Williams.
Wow.
Yeah.
Me too.
Wow.
I think Caleb Williams is going to be a freaking huge bust. You know why? Because draft day, the movie, he plays the situation out exactly with Bo Callahan.
I think he's going to be the one that
Bo Callahan.
Interesting. I don't think he's going to buzz. I think he's going to be nasty, actually.
No, he could definitely hoop there, 100%. The weapons are there, too.
I think he's going to be great.
But the O-line still needs a little bit of love there. Yeah. Does he not? You know, does that create a problem? That division's pretty good. Yeah. He's got to see the Packers twice. That's a great defense. And you're just throwing him in.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, he could bust. I don't know, man. He's just so – he's got every tool – that you would want.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's like comparing him to be the next Mahomes.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of those tools. He kind of like has a lot of the same features as a Mahomes type.
Even Mahomes didn't start right away.
I know, but the second he did, he was nasty.
Yeah, right, yeah. But he had some time to kind of be backed up.
I mean, a lot of these guys, I mean, who started right away? I mean, both Burrow and Herbert started right away, and they're pretty solid their first year.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be an all-star year one, but I think he'll be like good enough that you'd be like, okay, this guy could be a problem.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, the reality is like the QB windows, like everyone wants him to be great the first year. And the reality is like you have to give him at least like 3 years to get a gauge how effective they are. But
Drew Brees didn't become Drew Brees until he got traded to where he left to the Saints.
But those days are gone in the NFL. You can't teams won't do that.
No,
it's not. Teams will not wait that long. Baby. They will not wait that long to get.
Unless you're the Packers. we'll wait till Aaron Rodgers decides to leave to bring in Jordan.
I guess.
No.
All right.
Sleeper QB pick, Bo Nix. Where's Bo gonna go?
He's projected late first or early second.
Really?
He's just old.
Yeah, I know.
He's very older.
Who the hell is gonna take him?
I'm Bo Nix's age. Bo Nix's age.
Yeah. But who the hell is gonna take Bo?
Someone take Bo. Look, there's so many quarterbacks. Let's go through the NFL teams.
Like what teams need quarterbacks? It's
the Vikings,
the Raiders, the Vikings.
Obviously, like the Bears,
Commanders, Bears, the Patriots. Bears,
the Patriots. Who else needs a quarterback?
That's right now. Hold up.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets maybe pick a quarterback. I mean, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have
much left. 100%. I don't know if they take a first rounder.
Not in the first, but.
Maybe second rounder.
Yeah.
Or maybe they go, bro, if they have this is a nasty prospect.
Vegas, Denver. I can see New York taking the Patriots.
Patriots, yeah.
The. Maybe not first round, but I can see the Rams taking one too. Stafford's probably going to retire soon. Maybe not in the first, but Minnesota, Chicago, Atlanta just got theirs.
The
Giants
maybe?
Could. The Bucks could, but maybe not
they
first.
They gave Baker a nice chunk of
change. Washington. Round, but take a quarterback overall. Like, bring somebody in.
Oh, we got another question.
No, it's Mo. He goes, What's up, Tranquilo Crew? Hyped to see you guys on the Icon of the Seas.
Are you guys
going
on the Icon?
He's going on the Icon.
Oh, nice.
We got to record a pod from the Icon one day. That'd be sick.
That'd be me and
Javi. That'd be sick. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess there's a decent amount of QB need out there.
Yeah.
There's always QB need. It's so crazy.
He'll be taken. I mean, I don't know. I can see him going second, falling even possibly to third. But
it's not that deep this year, the running back class. I don't think
you know who the number one guy is? Yeah. From FSU.
Like he's projected to go like what?
He's the 63rd overall like prospect, so imagine.
At least late second, third round.
Yeah. That's the one thing in this class that's not very deep. I mean, you had the Texas kid that got hurt. He was supposed to be a stud.
Yeah.
But he's he's coming off an injury, so his draft sucked up.
He's been like a stud running back in a class. Like, I feel like the last 2 years. Like,
Jonathan Taylor probably was probably one of the last ones.
Bijan was last year.
Bijan, yeah. No, I'm talking about before last year.
Oh, no, before that. I mean,
yeah.
But I feel like there's always been like a solid running back that maybe like, maybe late.
Yeah, there's always a guy.
Yeah. Not this year, though.
No, not this year.
Running backs.
It's thin.
But also the whole like stigma running backs has changed. It's just,
yeah.
You just need a solid guy like, Raheem Mostert is just at 31, like just put up numbers, like it's crazy.
But then we also got Achane, so it's like,
Achane bulking up to like 210. The
guy, dude, he looks big.
Yeah.
But
Anything else? I didn't get any other questions that were written to me besides some golf questions that came in.
Want to go into golf for a bit?
Yeah, I guess might as well.
Yeah, let's talk some golf. My nemesis just keeps winning and it's, winning and winning. The
questions are about your boy.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Now, what are the questions, Amy?
So, question one was, is Scotty's run, you know, a Tiger-esque run?
It's not. Here's my thing with Scotty that I will say, outside of the fact that...
Frank Gore Jr. is in this draft class world.
I'll say this about Scotty in that he's on an insane tear. He's... very impressive. Obviously, he's the best in the world right now. It's insane the type of run that he's on. But no, he's not on a Tiger run. He's not on anything that's like not been seen before in terms of like there's been so many next Tigers, and they've all fallen out. If Scotty's here doing this,
who's okay? So then
Rory, Rory. I saw a thing the other day. So if Rory's in the same time span of not even from. I think it was like either first 3 years or like whatever the 3 years that Scotty's been on this run,
right?
Compared to Rory's and Rahm's, and this was before this week. I don't know how different it is now, but Rory has more majors. Rory had more wins. Rahm had like better like stats or whatever.
In Rahm, Rahm's and run Scotty was better in different things. Was very good during that year span.
If Scotty obviously can keep this up and he surpasses what Rory did, and people forget how good Rory was. Like Rory, Rory's still very good, but he's not even close to like what he used to be. Like if Scotty, also by the way,
Scotty's been good though for the last 2 years. It's not like this is just a this year thing.
But
he's won Player of the Year 2 years in a row.
Rigged last year, but anyway. Scotty is only good from January to April. He's only won in those months, which is very impressive, and he wins a lot. But like his first year when he blew up, he goes Bay Hill, the WGC, Scottsdale, Masters, right? An incredible year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he really only won the Players, and what he might have won, and I think he won Waste Management again. Those were his only two wins. And this year, he's back on that incredible, like, early start.
Right.
It's just, you know, if he keeps
the latter half of the year.
The reason why I say no to the question is more of the fact that what Tiger did was so insane. For him to do that, he would need to keep this up even for another couple months. Like Tiger, in a 20 match span one time, it was like win, third.
There's second, no
win. Like it's just, you can't compare it yet.
It's not you Tiger. No, 100%.
But yes, is it the best thing? I mean, it's the best run I've seen, you know, since prior the Rory run, outside of Tiger.
Right.
That's like, and it's probably the most impressive. It's even more impressive because of how dominant he's been. That's for sure. Like, I'll give him his flowers there. But in terms of like, is it like a Tiger run? I don't think so. And not yet. Like, he could. He can keep going, but he's not. He's still in it.
To kind of counter a little bit about what you're saying. This is the first year with signature events, and here you are in RBC Heritage with a stacked field, and he did it again and won by multiple strokes.
I know, but the thing is that the elevated events are mainly just more bigger purses in terms of like...
They are, well, and a better field.
Yeah, but it would still be the same field beforehand. It's just shorter. It's easier.
It's a smaller field. Everyone makes a cut.
Not in all of them. But
In this RBC, they did. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Not in all.
No, I'm talking about RBC specifically.
But yeah, but it's actually easier for him. He's a system quarterback. He only wins in January, April.
I don't disagree with that. I do agree that he hasn't capitalized late in the season, but it is the closest thing I think that we've seen in a while.
Okay, so here's the thing. So now that number after 120 PGA Tour starts, Scotty made his 120th start last week at Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
Events 120, 120, 120. This is Scotty, Rory, Rom. Majors, Rory already had four. He had 13 wins compared to Scotty's 9. Top threes.
Yeah, Scotty's, but Scotty's run has been in the last
but few. It's the same thing though. It's one. It's
120 is how many years basically?
I don't know. Let's see.
Because Scotty's run really started in the last 2 years.
Yeah, in 2021.
So like from 2021, 22. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just say, I mean, he was playing more events before. Let's say he plays at least 25. But he played more. You grow younger too.
Yeah. I wouldn't even know.
I don't know what this. I don't know how far that is.
Yeah. Let's just say 20.
But
that would be like 4 years. Basically, which
is
5 years,
which is kind of the run he's on now, which is kind of like that same thing. I think people are just underestimating.
I get the argument behind the chart. But I'm just saying that those numbers are a little skewed because Scotty's run is started between last year and this year. If you're watching the dominance, well,
3 years ago, because he was better in 2021 than he was last year.
He was better in 2021.
He shouldn't have won last year. Yeah, that's that award. It was robbed for two reasons. They should have gone to Hobb. But if not, it should have gone to Rom. Rom had the same run that he had in 2021.
Yeah.
And they didn't give it to him because he went to live.
Right.
So that right there is a robbery. But listen, Scotty is the best player in the world. Like, Scotty is amazing.
If he continues.
If he continues this, then yes, it would be. But, like, dude, look at this other one about Tiger. Like, the Tiger.
No.
Oh, shit.
I don't think there's even a discussion to be had about Scotty and Tiger being in the same conversation. Dude. But the reality is where Scotty's currently playing in this window is a Tiger-esque window that he's in right now.
Yeah.
Is he in the same conversation of the level of dominance that Tiger had throughout portions of career? Yeah. Absolutely not. Because what Tiger was able to do in a long stretch of time was just straight flat out dominance.
Yeah. No, of course. And look, this guy, in response to this, goes, and for context, in that 120,
he did it span, multiple times.
That 120 same span of Scheffler, Rory, Rahm,
mm-hmm.
Tiger had 32 wins and 8 majors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
32. Oh. Scotty has 9, Rory had 13, and Rahm had 7.
Yeah.
In that same span, Tiger had 32 and 8.
That's insane.
It's crazy.
No, it's insane. Those years were some of the most dominant golf you've ever seen from a player.
128 majors, 34 wins, 54 top threes, dude.
Yeah, and the crazy part is the money.
Yeah, no, the money thing's insane.
Would be fucking.
Oh, look how much Scott's already at. This was up until last week, 57.7 million.
But imagine he would have significantly higher dollars.
They did a thing that if Tiger played this, if Tiger won on his.
Like, oh yeah, I saw that. It was like equivalent to like $90 million, and he made 1.3 or something that year.
Yeah, it was
insane. The purses were wildly low.
Yeah,
I think he won. I think his highest winning was like $750,000 or $1.2 million, something like that. Outlandish,
dude. But yeah, so the Tiger. I stopped comparing him to Tiger. He's amazing. He's the best player right now. His run is not a Tiger run, not yet, unless he keeps this up.
It is a Tiger run in the span of when it started to where it is right now, but it's not a Tiger run in terms of the full comparison of what Tiger actually accomplished throughout a whole year.
Not in that same run, though.
Yeah, but again, those numbers are skewed.
What numbers?
Scotty wasn't at the level of dominance in over the last 120 events.
Like the run of a January to April, like there's a run that Tiger went on and he won like 6 in a row.
Okay. I mean, that's exactly where Scotty's pacing right now. This guy's done
4, but
yeah, that's exactly where Scotty's pacing right now. This guy's
won 6 in a row, would go second, and won 6 in a row.
It's the current one that he's on right now. Yes. I think that's.
Listen, we'll see if he keeps it up.
Yeah, he's a system
golfer.
He's got a ton of work to do to be able to hit that. He's got a ton of to do to get to that point. He's nowhere near that, and I think plenty more Scotty has to do to get there.
Yeah.
My next question is, who is going to be the one to contend against Scotty at this point?
Victor Hovland. Realistically, right now, it's the one that's got the best chance in terms of if we're talking just majors.
Say it.
Oh my God, you're gonna say Heath Adolf. It's not Sahith Akala, even though he's playing so well.
He's playing so well.
He's playing so
well. He would have won this weekend if it wasn't for Scotty.
He's playing very well. But like in terms of like majors, when all these guys are in it, it's the Brookses, the Brysons, the Rahms. And then, I mean, Wyndham Clark's was terrible at the Masters, but he's still
Wyndham's sneaky.
Yeah, he's playing really well this year. I mean, Rory, everyone knows I hate Rory, but Rory's still, you know, he's good enough to beat Scotty in an event. But
and he's just kind of hanging it.
He didn't actually even win an event last year. Honestly, scratch Rory's things.
No, but he's playing better golf, though.
I mean, he smacks the ball. He's not
at the top of leaderboards, but he's there, you know? And
he had like one blow.
That's kind of the problem. He can't put this four rounds together.
Scotty will fade when he's a kid. I can beat Scotty if he gives me 10.
That's actually a good point. The whole thing, like, Scotty's about to have a kid. That could derail his momentum.
Well, this is the best time to jump on the PGA Championship futures,
right?
Because they're also juiced because of Scotty. The second that he says he's out, everyone will readjust to that.
Damn.
So if you got a guy that you want to take and jump on, I would do it now.
That's a good point. Banking
on the fact that Scotty won't be there.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't go there, then all of them will skyrocket.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
I agree. When Scotty is a kid and he isn't able to play for like at least 2 weeks. At least.
Who says you can't bring the newborn?
Dude, I would have loved to see him leave the mat.
That is a good point too by Fern. Morikawa has been on a heater.
Yes, Morikawa is
Morikawa is playing good golf. He played well in the Masters too.
He's another one. People forget how that run that Mori went a few years ago. Yeah. Even when he
there's
was
been runs and of good golf, 100%.
He plummeted, and then now he's starting to look better like himself again.
When you think about the game of golf, when you're on, you're on. Yeah. And you know, it's just keep being... It's the duration of how long
it's
can you be
the
on.
Tiger yeah, so exactly. Like how long he did
exactly.
It. And Mori is on a heater right
Mori
now.
Mori is on a heater.
Though.
Not as much as my boy Thigala, but that's a different story.
Thigala's got to win, bro. At this point, he's got to win one.
He's got to win. He's still young.
He should win one this year. He's been great. But like he's got, I think he will win one this year.
He's
like,
due. I mean,
he'll have to win one.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. It's Scotty.
Trying to think
this guy could have gone out there and won a nice little purse.
Oh, you know who's playing really well? Actually, Xander, too.
Xander is playing really well.
He just can't win.
Let's talk about
but
Xander.
He's so good.
Xander always plays well.
Always. He can't win,
though.
He's the second best golfer this year on the PGA Tour, like in terms of like his stats. And like
I don't know what it is, though.
But he just can't win. Actually.
It's the putting sometimes goes kind of cold for him, but he can't win. I root for him, man.
Canley's another one who's
Canley's
on
always yeah, but those guys are always but, good. Holma is also playing obviously really well too. It's a lot of golf they're playing right now.
I'd say Xander and probably Wyndham Clark are the two, three, those guys and on tour this season. I'd probably say, when you're not playing against like guys. You'll see the majors, like the Rahms and stuff. Like Rahm would be obviously his number one competitor, like in terms of like
he would, but even Rahm doesn't seem to be playing great golf right now.
Yeah. I know, I agree. But that's Rahm kind of would thing. Be that guy.
Like Cam Smith.
Cam Smith's awesome.
It's just so hard to gauge those guys because you don't see them play anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like you don't really know how much of a contention they can be in.
I mean, Scotty's clearly still that guy.
Bryson winning at Bethpage.
Xander's the choke artist.
Xander, he is.
He is a true guy. Bryson winning at Bethpage. Listen, Bryson.
Bryson's due. I will say that.
Bryson's like playing the best golf he's played in a long time. Bryson is. I mean, that Masters day one, he was killing it. It's just the rest of the tournament. He never really blew up, but like he couldn't continue it.
I don't know why I had this just random thought in my head, which is why I was laughing. That if Bryson and Scotty go into a playoff. They shouldn't play a hole. They should just have like a boxing match on the 18th green.
He beat the shit out of Scotty. But no, Bryson's another one, man. Bryson's killing it right now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, honestly, Brooks, I've seen every major, but Brooks has been not good this year.
Yeah.
Bryson's been way better. And DJ's one that let me down to the Masters. I thought DJ was going to have a good Masters performance this year, and he just looked like he did not want to be there.
Yeah.
So
it's tough. I don't know. I mean, that was one major. There's obviously another major's coming up now. We'll see.
Did you see the lines for Scotty in each one?
No.
He's I think he's 3-1 to win PGA. He might be 2-1 or something crazy. Holy like that.
Cow.
Like and then he's like 6-1 to win all four. Like something crazy. Or six, maybe no, 60-1. 60-1 to win all four.
Oh, I was gonna say.
But which is still insane.
Still like, insane. Like, to win all four crazy. Is nuts.
I mean, Tiger. He wants to go on the Tiger
yeah,
run.
Yeah, no, he's gonna have to do that.
To win all four.
How about this? Is the field now just more competitive that it's just that much harder to do that? Not to take anything away from Tiger.
It's the same. I mean, it's different than the Jordan argument because Jordan played
yes.
a lot longer ago and Tiger's mm-hmm. still technically like he around. Made his run and yeah. his peak was the 2010s, but right. even still won afterward.
Right.
But I don't think so. I mean, there's different things now. What's really the difference now and back then is the type of technology that these guys have.
Right.
Obviously, a lot of guys are hitting it further now too, but it's a lot of like the technology, not only with your swing, but with the type of equipment that they have now and the type of clubs that they're making. Like,
yeah.
It's different, but...
The field is weak because of this. Yes and no. Yes and no.
It is. Yes, because it gives you opportunity of some of these other guys, but yeah. it is objectively weaker, like, because of LIV. But it's still, like, if you're comparing it, you know, the number of stars has also risen
right.
than what it was back then. But it's still, like, it's just different times. But, like, Tiger in his prime, I think, would still be, maybe he would have. I don't know. You can't really say
it's,
that.
Yeah, it's impossible to tell.
He was so good. Like he could probably do the same thing now.
Yeah. Look who just joined. Our boy Jorge Pola.
Boo.
Boo.
We already talked
your Penix pick.
I actually want to hear from Bobby. Hey, Bobby, Pola says the Dolphins should drop Penix if you want to type something in there. But yeah, so I think that's we'll see, wait and see, and I agree. Like, let's see what happens.
Yeah, it's just the argument will only grow as Scotty continues to play that same type of golf. No. But but yeah, I think as long as Scotty continues to be that guy, I don't think the argument is just going to continue to grow. That's just the thing.
We will see.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up for tonight. Thanks for everyone that joined on the live. And thanks for submitting your questions today. I didn't even know you could do that on live with all the balloons. Yeah, that wraps it up for today. We'll see what happens with the Heat and Panthers. We'll see what happens with the Scotty run and of course, the NFL draft. And we'll have a recap for that next week.
Sweet.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Peace.